Hey, Mighty Warrior. Whenever I travel across the country speaking and teaching at men's conferences, I'm often asked, Joe, what do you do for a living? And I usually respond by saying, I simply help Christian men win. I tell them that I provide them with a proven five-step plan that's guaranteed to help any Christian man succeed in the areas that matter most to him as a man, like loving God, being the hero of his home, being a champion at work, protecting and providing for his family, and leaving a legacy of faith for his children and his grandchildren. And I tell them that the men who come through our organization walk away better equipped and more confident to win in the battles that they fight every day as men. Now you can imagine the response I usually get is, what is that proven five-step plan? And I tell them we provide a free training on our website. All they have to do is go to rmcfree.com to gain access to it. That's it. So if you like to find out the five critical things that every Christian man needs to succeed, guaranteed, then just go over to rmcfree.com to get the training. That's rmcfree.com. Hey, Mighty Warrior. I had the pleasure of interviewing one of my most remarkable guests. She's the author of God, I'm Waiting, Finding Blessings in God's Delays. And her name is Barb Roos. As you know, I've done hundreds of guest interviews, but I must say that my interview with Barb was one of the toughest because of her personal story and how close it hit home for me personally. However, during post-production editing of this amazing interview, we noticed a persistent and loud clicking noise in the background, which we later attributed to Barb's lapel microphone. Now, our production guy did the best he could to eliminate the noise, but he was unsuccessful in doing so. So much so that we even considered not airing this interview, because we didn't think the quality was good enough to air. So of course, you know what I did. I prayed. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that the enemy is a liar and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe Barb's message is too important to us as men and women to scrap this interview because of technical difficulties. So I'm asking you to please forgive us at Real Men Connect for the clicking noise during my interview with Barb Roos. But I promise you, her interview is going to bless you, and you will probably be mad at me for even considering the possibility of not airing this episode. So thank you for your patience and for being such a loyal listener and for supporting the show. Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. And guys, guess what? It's about that time. Today, we don't have a man on the show with us. We have a woman, and her name is Barb Roos. And Barb is a popular speaker and author who is passionate about connecting women to one another and to God, helping them apply the truths of God's word to the practical realities and challenges that they face as women in today's culture. And Barb enjoys teaching and encouraging women at conferences and events all across this country, as well as internationally. And she's the author of several books, including I'm Waiting, God, Finding Blessings in God's Delays, as well as several Bible studies. Now, Barb's writing has been featured in many magazines, and she also writes a regular blog at barbroos.com, and she's the host of the Better Together podcast. And Barb lives in Toledo, Ohio, and she's the proud mom of three adult daughters. You know, Barb has to be special because it's rare when we have women on the Real Men Connect podcast. But when we do, you know they have a timely message for us as men. So we agreed to have Barb on the show today to talk to us about the challenges of waiting and the struggle of worrying and what God is trying to teach us and how we can support our wives and each other as men when it comes to God's delays. So please join me, Warrior Nation, in welcoming Barb Roos to the Real Men Connect podcast. Welcome to the show, Barb.
Thank you very much. I am honored to be here, especially with the Real Men community.
That's right. That's right. I tell women, Barb, not to be intimidated. I'm always surprised that we haven't been shut down on the air because women would call in or something. I don't like what you're saying to men, but do you realize our biggest supporters are from women? I mean, they give to our ministry, they support, and I'm telling you, it touches my heart. Even though we don't do one show for women, we have women supporting our ministry, which is a fantastic thing, and I'm blessed to have that happen.
I love that. You know what? A woman will support any man who is trying to follow Jesus. That is something we get excited about. Yes.
No, that's right. Barb, we got a lot of stuff I want to dive into to talk to you about, because I told you before we came on the air that I read your book. And I have a friend of mine, a female friend, she's single, and she told me this, said, Joe, after you interview Barb, could you send me a copy of the book? And I'm trying to debate, Barb, should I go ahead and send her my copy or just buy her a copy? But I think I'm going to bless your ministry and buy her a copy so she can have it herself. But I got to know where your book, if you talk about it in your book, I want you to share with our listening audience, what inspired you to write I'm Waiting, God?
Well, the inspiration is that I am like everyone else. When something is taking too long, I don't always handle it well. So there is a part of me that, as a woman who loves Jesus, I mean, I love Jesus, but I've also been known to try to help God out.
Right.
And so if anyone out there can relate to praying for something, and as you prayed, that feeling that you get when that prayer isn't being answered, there's a tension in that that caused me to ask some very hard questions. And the Bible study itself was motivated by a very difficult situation in my family. And it was a decade of praying and waiting on God and having to work through some really hard questions about, did God love me? Had he forgotten about me? How long was he going to leave us in this situation? And eventually, how do we let go when God says no? And so those were the questions that I really wanted to work through in this book.
You know, you said how to let go when God says no. That would have been a great title for a book.
Interestingly enough, my next book and Bible study that are coming out in this year are on that topic.
Really? Oh, that's going to be great. That's awesome. Now, Barb, you mentioned that 10 years of waiting, that's a long time, 10 years of waiting. But I want you to take us back to whenever I get a guest on the show, you know what? And I already forgot, Barb, typically, and I'm not going to treat you any differently than I treat our men. And we always ask our men, what is their favorite Bible verse in the Word of God that gives them inspiration from the Word of God? And I didn't ask you that. So I'm going to ask you right now before we jump into the other questions. What's your favorite Bible verse in this time of your life?
Well, in this time of my life, I'm actually back to my life verse, and it is Matthew 6:33, and it has been for years. Mm-hmm. Now, I grew up in the Baptist church,
right?
But I appreciate the New Living Translation that says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And mm-hmm. I love starting there because my particular personality, if there are any DISC people out there, I'm a high DI. If there are any folks out there who do like any of the personality assessments, I'm a hard charging kind of girl who likes to get things done.
Right.
And Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And for me, this verse helps me focus. It helps me to keep my priorities clarified, and it helps me to find purpose and comfort and peace, that for all of the questions that I do not have answered about my life, all of the things that I might be worried about weighing on my heart, that I just have to focus on God first. And when I'm focused on him and I allow a spirit to move in me and through me, the rest of my life falls into place.
You know, that's my spiritual father's favorite Bible verse. And he's always, every time I ask him for advice about anything, he's always quoting Matthew 6:33. I'm like, come on, man, are you going to give me another verse? You know, but I'm realizing now, if somebody has to tell you that verse all the time, it's because they have personalities like ours, that highly driven, got to get things done, let's get it done yesterday kind of thing. So if you're out there listening, if somebody tells, always quoting Matthew 6:33 to you, you're probably like us with that kind of personality.
Maybe. Now, ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's right. Now, Barb, you said 10 years of waiting. That's a long time to be waiting. I want you to take us back to when you were a child, because obviously this personality that you have had to develop somewhere. Tell us a little bit about yourself when you were growing up. What was it like for you as a little girl growing up?
Well, this is this is the part where I know that for some people it might be a little difficult and painful. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in a great family. My parents married young. My dad was from Arkansas. My mom was from Tennessee. They were high school sweethearts. They got married at 18 and 21, and I showed up shortly after. We were an African-American family living in a small town. My dad and mom both had good jobs, which meant that they could take care of our family. And as a kid, every day, I was lucky enough that my dad, he went to work at 3 in the morning in a factory, and he was off work by 3 in the afternoon. And so he was always sitting in the garage waiting when I walked up the driveway from the school bus. And most of my childhood was spent with walking into the garage. My dad would always have an extra lawn chair there. And he would sit down, he'd say, "Hey, tell me about your day." And so for me, my growing up life was stable. My parents were loving toward each other. They were married for 45 years before my dad passed away in 2017. It was a beautiful foundation that I value more and more every day.
Well, now you said it'd be hard for our listeners to hear because I know why you said it, but I want you to explain to them, why is that so hard to share your childhood with other people? Tell them how great your childhood was.
Well, because in my situation now, my daughters that's not a story that my daughters can tell.
Wow.
And it's something that I wished for them. And there was not anything that I could do to stop it. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are many people out there, especially men, who wish that they would have had a relationship with their father.
Right.
A couple of years before my dad got sick, he was diagnosed with cancer in October of 2017, and he passed away 8 days later.
Wow.
It was fast. Mm-hmm. And yet, he lived in such a way that he didn't have any cleanup to do. It was peaceful, and there were multitudes of people. He was a simple man, high school diploma. He worked for our county, and he worked in a factory. But he loved people. And I know that for many people, they wish that that was the kind of relationship that they had with their dad. And so that's not always easy to hear when you hear someone else had.
Right. And you mentioned, because you have 3 adult daughters, I guess that is also part of the inspiration then, I guess, for I'm Waiting God, because you've had to, because, you know, as parents, I have a son who's getting ready to graduate from college and a daughter who's getting ready to go to college. So pray for me, Barb, on that.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing is, I guess, is more trying on your spirit when you're seeing your children struggle or seeing them go through things that you don't want them to go through. And, you know, that it's God's permissive will. And so I know that a lot of times we're pressed with the waiting part when it comes to watching our children go through. But, you know, you have this great home that you grew up in. So where did this personality come from that I have to get it done? Now, with me, I had a very traumatic childhood, and I was pretty much overcompensating for not having a dad in the home, dad leaving mom, a teenage mother, and all this other stuff in a broken home and all this violence in my community. But I became this personality based on overcompensation. You had a stable environment. How'd you get to the place that I got to?
So mine came, I don't think my parents intended this, but on a very regular basis, my parents looked me in the eyes and told me that I could be anyone that I wanted to be, and I could do anything that I wanted to do, and I believed them.
And you believed them, right?
And on top of it, until the day that he died, my father was intentional about telling us that he loved us every single time he saw us. Wow. Every day of my childhood, that's what I heard. And so those two combinations, it created a monster in some ways. Mm-hmm. Because I had to work through the hurdles of trying to be in control of things I wasn't in control of or thought I should be in control of. I had to work through surrender and letting go. And so in this season of my life, I'm grateful for the foundation that I had, but it also was a place where God had to clarify that he was God and I was not.
Amen. You know, Barb, I told you before we came on the show that the appeal of our show is that we get real with our guests and our guests get real with our listeners. And when I was going through your bio and looking at some of the background, I saw that you had the 3 daughters, but I didn't hear a mention of a husband. Now, as far as, if you don't mind, I told you I was going to get into your business because I want men to understand their wives better and understand women better. Tell me what happened in that you're now having these three daughters that you're taking care of basically on your own. What happened?
Well, part of the I'm waiting God inspiration was that I prayed for a decade that God would remove an addiction issue that surfaced in our home. And at first I didn't recognize it. It was hidden. It didn't come in the form of screaming or yelling or hitting or anything like that. It was something that showed up in the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009. And at first I was confused, and counseling, there were sit down conversations, lots of things. And then as the years went on and I began to pray, my prayer sounded a lot like, God, you've got to fix this, and God, rescue us. And around our 20th anniversary, there was a first separation directly because of an issue with alcohol. And 4 years later, there was an intervention and a second separation. And I was praying and fasting. I fasted weekly for years. I believed in God's power that He could rescue our family. This was the love of my life. We married young, and we had our babies, and we had a wonderful family until this particular addiction issue showed up. And it was just a few years ago when he decided he didn't want to be married anymore. We've been married for 26 years.
Wow.
And painful doesn't even begin. I thought that I would actually die. It felt like I was dying. Today, I'm sitting in my apartment around the corner from the house that we owned for over 20 years.
Oh.
And the divorce became final just a few months ago. But the I'm Waiting God's study actually captured some principles that I had to learn about God. I mean, I came to faith in Christ when I was 8 years old. My mom was my first Bible teacher. Mm-hmm. I worked on staff at my church for 14 years. I was a teaching pastor for 10 years. And I remember last weekend in a divorce care group that I'm leading at my church, even though I'm a speaker and author, I'm still involved at my church. And I still guest teach at my church. It's a large church, about 10,000 people. There was a woman in my divorce care group who last Sunday looked at me and she said, "I never thought I would see you here." It doesn't matter where we come from or what we've been through. We all face things in life that aren't going to turn out the way that we thought. And yet in Matthew 6:20, a few verses before my favorite 6:33, God says, "Store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt." And in my journey, once I began focusing on God and stopped focusing on what I wanted God to fix in my life, once I took my eyes off of wanting God to save my marriage, wanting Him to get rid of the addiction, wanting Him to give my life back, I then discovered some incredible better blessings that God had waiting for me when He didn't give me what I wanted.
Right, right. You know what, Barb, as I'm listening to your story, because we didn't meet prior to this, and your people reached out to us to kind of tell me about your book, sent me your book, and I said, "Wow, we got to have this lady on the show, man. This is going to be awesome." But you don't know my background and my story, and I could have been your husband, all right? My addiction was pornography and just in adultery. I'm talking about, it was horrible. And I ruined a 16-year marriage. And it was devastating. And my ex-wife and I are friends now, but it's been now, I guess, going on 14 years, and there's still not a week that goes by that, and I'm happily married now, there's still not a week that goes by that I don't look back and say, "What was I thinking? What was I doing?" And I realized what I put her through. And the thing was that she struggled with the waiting part to see me come around. Because it's got to be tough for her now to see me now. To say, "This is the man I thought I married. What happened?" But the waiting was just too tough for her. And man, I wish this book would have been around years ago. And I'm listening to when you were talking about even the time frame. It was around during that time frame that you gave. And I'm like, "God, look at you, the way you put things together." And Barb, you pretty much ruined my interview because all the stuff you shared, I'm like, you answered all the questions I was going to ask you. No, but I'm excited because that tells me that, no, that you just gave us a good starting point. And I can tell this interview is not going to go like normal interviews. And I told you that before we came on air. I said, I'm just going to let the Spirit lead us. But Barb, it's amazing how God, I can see God's hand on things, because I'm thinking if Barb would have known about me and my background before the show, she wouldn't have agreed to do the show. She would have just said, I'm not doing that guy's show.
Right? Oh, that is not true at all. What I love is that for all of the men who listen to your show, especially the newer ones who hadn't heard your story and hadn't heard this part of your heart,
right?
You and I both know that there are men out there who on... So the day that I had to move out of my house, I prayed that I would not have to move out of my house, but the conditions were such that I had to. Right. In July of 2018, it was July 1st. I had asked a friend to help me find some folks to move. I didn't want to use my friends because it was just too embarrassing. When I backed the moving truck up to my apartment, there were 5 men waiting. They were from my church. They were from the Celebrate Recovery Ministry.
Yeah.
I knew these men, and mm-hmm. several of them were responsible for the loss of their families. Yet that day, they showed up to be a part of the worst day of my life.
Wow.
And when I wrote them thank you cards later, they emailed me and they said, we felt grateful that we got a chance to do something. And so what you do every week is doing something to pour back into whatever it is that God has brought you through. Mm-hmm. You're pouring mm-hmm. back into that. And so I know men today are like, they're like, Dr. Joe, really, that's his story?
Yeah.
And they now know he's a guy like me. If mm-hmm. God can do that in his life, God can do it in mine.
You know, and you're right, Barb, because I know that's what brings the men to our show, because they realize that, wow, Joe is just as jacked up or messed up as I was. But, you know, but I'm always, but my heart breaks when I talk to women who I see who would like my ex-wife, who what I put her through. And Barb, it's hard. That's why I do what I do, because no woman deserves some of the pain that we put them through, based on our own addictions and our own insecurities and our own fears and doubts and the traumas from our past that's gone on unresolved. And this is a labor of love. And it's my payback to God to say, God, thank you for not leaving me there, but sparing me and giving me a chance to have a platform like this. And then look at God's grace and mercy, Barb, that he even let me meet women. Like you, who I could see that, God, even I can't destroy one of your creations, even with my bad choices. If, like you said, Matthew 6:3, if they seek you, your kingdom and your righteousness, that all these great things will be added unto them. And Barb, the people you're touching and you're reaching, your ministry is amazing. I told you, your book was written for women and I couldn't put it down. I couldn't put it down. And so that's when I told my friend about it. She says, can I get a copy of that book? And so what you're doing is phenomenal in your story. And I mean, it hits home with me, obviously, in a personal way. Thank you so much for being on this show. Now, let's get back to some of my questions, if I can. Barb, now this is going to sound as if it's the weirdest question I've ever asked a guest before, because I've never asked a guest what I'm getting ready to ask you right now. All right.
Bring it on.
Sound kind of weird, all right? But it's obvious that you're an established and popular women's speaker. You're there to give women hope and inspire them. You have a passion for reaching women. So I want to ask you this weird question. Why did you agree to come on our show to talk to men about this?
At my heart, I am someone who believes that Jesus is the hope of the world.
Right.
And so I'm not all that picky about the opportunity to share that hope. I don't care if it's with one person or 1 million. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I prayed most about as I had to start walking forward into this new season of life was, God, how do I talk about what I've been through in a way that's compassionate and respectful to my former spouse.
Right, right.
And it took a while for me to figure out what the language looked like. Part of why I love this show, your format, is because I believe that we're more than our worst mistake. Mm-hmm. And I pray every day for God to make himself known, for there to be people that he surrounds my former spouse with. I pray every day that there is a space in his heart that is soft enough that the Spirit of God's whisper can hear. Right. And it's the same thing with anything else I do in life. So whether it's a women's ministry retreat or a great podcast talking to men, that God, that he can speak into any heart.
Right,
That's my desire.
Amen. Amen. You know, as you bring it up, Barb, I am getting so off the script of what I wanted to talk to you, but I'm thinking,
I'm sorry.
No. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to you because you're praying for your ex-husband and the pain. I just can't get my mind wrapped around 26 years. 16 years is devastating to me, but 26 years, even longer. And you mentioned your daughters earlier in the podcast. And one of the hardest things was, oh, God, help me, Lord. One of the hardest things for me was going to my son, who was 9 at the time. And telling him I destroyed our family. And Barb, God is so good. Because my son and I are really close today. And I just talked to him yesterday. He goes to college here in town. And we're really, really close. And he's reminded of God's mercy because how this boy has a relationship with me is beyond my imagination. And I just couldn't get my mind wrapped around it. And so I feel compelled to ask this question, but I'm about your daughters and how they're dealing with this. I know you're using this for God's good, but how they're coping and dealing with this, if you don't mind me asking.
So what I love is that you talked about having to tell your son about the mistakes that you've made. And yet these years later, that Joel 2:2, I think that's come into your life, that God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. That's a prayer that I'm still praying for me. My oldest daughter is an Army captain. She graduated from West Point in 2015. She Wow. and her dad were the closest. He was her basketball coach from first grade through high school. And I have a 24-year-old daughter who lives up the street. She's a preschool teacher. And a 19-year-old daughter who is a college sophomore. Their dad doesn't have any real contact with them.
Oh.
So he hasn't seen one of them in about 18 months. He's only seen one of them once in the last 18 months. And he's seen one of them a couple of times in between there. It's just, mm-hmm. He's very sick right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, some mornings, like this morning, I was face down on the floor. And my prayer this morning was that God would allow their relationship to be healed somehow in God's power. And so as you talk about your son and your relationship with him today, that gives me hope. Mm-hmm. Because again, like we said at the beginning, I had an incredible relationship with my dad until the very last second of his life. And it kills me. Their dad was amazing. Mm-hmm. He was attentive. He was loving. He was kind. He was generous. He was just amazing for a very long time. And yet, his absence has created some wake that I can see in their lives, and I have to beg God to fill in the gaps because it's painful. it's painful that they know that they don't have a father right now. Mm-hmm. And for girls, that's a dangerous thing.
Barb, I tell you, God has a sense of humor, man. How he arranges and sets things up. And I always thought when God called me to men's ministry, because I didn't tell you that my background was in education. I spent over 2 decades in the field of education, a university professor, elementary school teacher, worked with high school students before I came into men's ministry. And I realized if you fixed a man, you fixed a home and family.
Amen.
And I always thought, God, I could see why you called me to this, because what I'm bringing my life to this ministry of what I've gone through in my journey. And so my life is an open book to the people who listen to me and who, when I speak at these conferences like you do, Barb. But I got to tell you, I'm in awe of you because of your subject matter. I thought I was pretty authentic with my message of being a living, breathing example of what I teach, because me connecting with men brought me out of that pit that I was in. And so it's my wife gave me the name Real Men Connect as the ministry name. I was going to call it Real Men Connection. She said, no, Joe, you need to change it to Real Men Connect, because connect implies action. You have to do something. And I always believe that I reflected this message authentically. And I got to tell you, I haven't seen anything like this before. Not that people haven't gone through and they write about it, they talk about it, but somebody who's going through while they're doing it. I can at least tell you, Bob, that I can see it in my rearview mirror, you know, and I share what has happened and what I've learned. I don't see how I could have done this going through it the way you're going through it right now, which adds so much credibility to your book, to your ministry and what you do. I'm humbled to see that kind of strength. And if anything, I want to challenge men. This is the strength God has called us to step up to. And to think I'm learning how to be strong like this, watching a woman right now, talking to a woman, and they don't know that I can actually see you. And so I'm a blubbering mess right now in front of you. but I'm humbled because of your inner strength, which I know has to come from the Lord. And I feel inadequate because there's so many questions I want to ask, and I'm not even getting to the questions. And I'm asking God to help me, Lord, help me, help me help these men. We don't have a lot of women on this show, but it's time like this. When I say, God, this is you, your hand, your fingerprint is all over this. So help me not mess this up. Barb, I want to ask you, we know the scripture tells us to wait on the Lord and good things will happen. Why do you think we struggle with this so much? Because I don't know too many people who can do what you're doing. I don't know if I could. So why do we struggle with this so much if God has already made us a promise that good things will happen if we do?
I have a stack of journals under my bed, dozens of them, that for many years said, God, fix this now. God, I don't think I can take this. God, I think I'm dying. There have been an ocean's worth of tears. It is difficult when we want good things and we can't get them. And it's even harder when we want good things and we don't understand why God is giving them to us. And so today, I appreciate that you've given honor to God by what you've seen in my life. For me, I give glory to God. One of the big picture lines of the I'm Waiting God Bible study is that I had to discover that I would live for God's glory in spite of the ending of my story. This was the hardest spiritual lesson I ever had to learn because, I mean, there were 3 marriage separations. The first 2, I did not do well at all. There were some get outs. There were some my ways and or the highways. There were times when I tried to control and tried to fix and tried to strong arm. And there was a decade of counseling. There still is Al-Anon every week. Mm-hmm. There still is an accountability partner every other Wednesday. There still are girlfriends who walk beside me. And so part of my journey to learn how to be patient was God taking his time. Because I needed a long time to learn what he was trying to teach me. And then another part of it was him teaching me that I had to be humble and ask for help. Because left to my own devices, I was jacking things up. And so those two parts have been a part of the patient's journey, that it took a long time and I needed people around me to help.
Yeah, you mentioned the patient's journey. Do you think that's what we struggle with the most when it comes to waiting, is the patience part?
Oh, yes. Because why wait when we can have it now? I mean, we can order something on Amazon. Amazon one day, Postmates 1 hour. So when we have people in our lives that won't straighten up and fly right, or we have our own personal junk that we just keep making the same mistakes over and over again, we feel threatened and fearful and defensive and like all of those feelings on the inside when God is saying, I'm at work here. Mm-hmm. I know you're waiting on something to improve, but while you're waiting, I am still working. And when we wrap our minds around that, that is a game changer for us.
You know, you said something that I thought was just so eloquently stated. You said, live for God's glory, regardless of the end of your story. I love that, because that's not something that we can receive very easily, because we always want a story to have a happy ending. Yeah. But we got to look at, why are we doing all this? If we're not doing it for his glory, whose glory are we doing it for? Ours? You know, so, but Barbara, I want to ask you this. You said patience is that struggle that we have, but personally for you, when it came to waiting, and even when it comes to waiting now, what in particular do you struggle with the most?
That I'm not going to get what I want. Mm-hmm. That for me, there's a video out there called the marshmallow test. And so it's the kids who are given a marshmallow and they're told to wait. And if they wait, then they can get two marshmallows at the end. I believe that our problem with patience is that when we have our eyes on a marshmallow or that really good thing that we want, and someone tells us we can't have it, we want it even more. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the video, the kids who do the best take their eyes off of the marshmallow.
Right.
So part of the journey for me was moving from a posture of saying, I'm waiting on God too. Because we always say that, I'm waiting on God to give me a better job. I'm waiting on God to give mm-hmm. me this house. I'm waiting on God to fix whoever. I had to switch to a posture of I'm worshiping God for. Mm-hmm. I had to take my eyes off of what it was that was really important. And I had to shift to gratitude and to acknowledging God's presence. And when I took my eyes off of what I wanted, that marshmallow, it actually gave me strength and energy while I was waiting, because otherwise I was feeling the pressure to be impatient while I was watching my marshmallow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that in the book, and I thought it was a great example of that. And as a result, I got to give you credit for it. So if you ever hear about it, you say, you plagiarized me because I actually stole something from you, from your book, that I thought was so tremendous. Because I work with men, I mentor, disciple, and coach men. And so a lot of times I'm dealing with this topic. That's one reason I wanted to have you on the show, because I knew it was relevant for our men, because I'm always trying to, my phrase to men, where you're talking about, when you use the marshmallow example, I use take your watch off. You know, you got to take your watch off, because that's our problem.
That.
We keep thinking, but when God, when, no, take your watch off. But let me tell you what I actually took from your idea and I added to it. One of the things I tell men, I said, when God says wait, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. But you got to do something while you're waiting. And I used to have this alliteration. I said, with S's in it. I said, what you do while you wait, serve.
Love
while
it.
You wait, support. While you wait, strengthen. While you wait, sow into something. But after I read your book, I added another S. All right.
Yes.
Sing, worship. Mm-hmm. I never thought about that until I read that in your book about, wow, while we're waiting, why? how come I'm not worshiping? Because I realized that when you are worshiping, it changes everything. Like you said, it takes your mind off the worry, off the waiting, off the part. So I said, take your mind, start singing. And I shared that with a guy yesterday, and he just started laughing. I said, well, I'm going to have her on my show. I said, she's going to be on my show soon. So I took that idea. I said, wow, I never thought about adding that S to it. I'm going to sing as I wait. I'm going to worship him and praise him as I wait. I love that, Barb. That is great.
Well, I mean, what I love about it, whether you love to sing or whether you love to listen to worship music, there's part of singing worship songs that naturally remind us of what God has done for us.
Yeah.
Part of the waiting journey for me has learned to focus on gratitude, because when I'm waiting on something and I get a little ruffled about it, my gratefulness falls off and I stop paying attention to all the things God has been showing up and doing in my life. So that singing and that worshiping, it helps our hearts connect with, hey, what is God doing to bless me today? Mm-hmm. And the more that I remember what God is doing to bless me today, the less tension and stress I feel around tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself because you got enough problems to deal with today.
Right.
So that singing uplifts our heart. It gives us hope. It gives us joy. And that's a much better way to spend our waiting room time.
You know, and Barbara, I never thought about it, maybe because I'm not a good singer. But but when you said it, I said, you know what? It does. It does change everything because your focus is changed. I think that's great. Now, Barb, in your book, you focus on four women in particular. All right. You focus on Hannah, Ruth, the woman with the issue of blood. Also, you focused on Martha when God had to say no to one of her prayers. But if you were writing to men, okay, let's say you had to write that book to men, what man or men could you have easily used as an example of how to wait for God, God's way? And what could we learn from their life?
Joshua. He's my favorite dude.
I knew, because you wrote about him, I knew you were going to say that, but go ahead and tell us why Joshua.
Well, I've had a fondness for Joshua for years. He was a strong leader, and I love all things leadership. I actually went skydiving because of Joshua.
Really?
Jumped out of it. Yes, jumped out of an airplane. But when Joshua went into the promised land with the Israelites, it was a land of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. He had the task of conquering 31 kingdoms. He couldn't do all of it at once. He also only received instructions from God one campaign at a time. And I'm thinking, if I'm like Joshua, when I look at the promised land and I'm like, well, let me take it all on now. And God's like, no. I got a way that I want you to get things done. Mm-hmm. And so Joshua, he had to wait for God to lead him. He had to let God lead. That for all of us can be a challenge because we like to run out ahead of God. And right. Then we look around and we go, wait, where's God at? And we know we got out ahead of God because all of a sudden stuff starts looking like a mess. So Joshua is someone that I admired because he had a couple of times where he decided to freewheel and do it himself. But for the most part, he was a man who was patient and waited and listened for God.
You know, I knew you were going to talk about Joshua, but I'm glad. I like how you explained that to us. I think that's great because I know men's like, okay, well, all these, if they got your book, all these women. But no, Joshua is a great example. Now, I love your reference in the book to the waiting room of life. I've never heard it put that way before. Being in the waiting room of life, what spiritual issues are usually being tested in us when we're sitting in that waiting room of life?
Most of the spiritual issues come down to the four questions that I tackle in the Bible study. The spiritual issues of, we question God's love for us. Does he have unconditional love? And we've got to take that journey. Other spiritual issues around prayer. There are lots of reasons for why our prayers may be delayed, but a lot of times God wants to teach us perseverance in prayer. Often when God gives us what we want immediately, that does nothing to help us get to know him better. We just grab it and run off.
Right.
Then there is being grateful. When we have to wait for God, that teaches us to value what he gives to us. And then finally, to trust that God is the great healer and the great restorer. In my life, I have experienced God's healing and restoration. I never, ever thought that the day would come that I could look at my current circumstances and look at the past and go, as painful as it was, I wouldn't change a thing. Mm-hmm. That's stunning to me. But when I look at how God has blessed me, the better blessings that I talk about in the book, those jewels of wisdom and forgiveness and character and humility and purpose and faith, all of those things that God has given to me in the waiting room, I would not have gotten those any other way.
Right.
And I would not trade them for anything.
Yeah, the blessing outweighs the burdens and the pressure and the pain that we have to go through. And I always tell men all the time that when we go through that and we look back and we see how far God has brought us, we tend as men, because we're ashamed of our past and we look back and see the pain of our past, we don't want to tell another soul about what we had to overcome. We don't want to tell them about that addiction. We don't want to tell them about the mistakes. And my thinking is that if God brought you through that, if you don't open your mouth to give him glory for it and tell your testimony, then you wasted your pain. All that you went through was for nothing. It only let you survive, but you didn't help anybody else through either. So to me, I feel like it's almost like we're obligated to go back and say, let me tell you the good things that God has done for me and how it can set you free in the same realm. I think it's almost automatic that when you get through, that's why I'm so impressed with your journey, because you're not completely out of this. You're still going through it. But at the same time, God has given you at least a peace and resolve to be able to minister to people while they're going through as well. And I think that's just phenomenal. You know, now I couldn't wait to get you on to ask you this, Barb, because I just thought it was a great way of how you phrased it. You said that in your book, you said the path to patience is paved right over the road of our unanswered prayers. Let me repeat that for our listeners again. You said the path to patience is paved right over our road of our unanswered prayers. Could you explain a little bit more and so we can understand what you mean by that? I think it's beautiful the way you said that.
I thought about when I struggled with patience, those as like our family situation, or there were other situations. I remember I was waiting on a full-time job to come in at my church. And that was a place where I was impatient, where I was tempted to try to push ahead and to make my own solution. But that was also the very same situation that when I prayed and I waited for God to show up, that was the place where he taught me how to be patient. So the path was me wanting something, but what God paved over that path was for me to learn how to trust him and to walk in the steps that he was putting down for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when it comes down to, I guess when it comes down to it, it always seems to be, God says, do you trust me? I love you. Now, do you trust me?
Yep.
And it's always going to require a stepping out in faith and trusting him and depending on him. You know, I know that waiting tends to stir up a lot of emotions in us, and you've covered a lot of those emotions with us on the call. But one in particular, at least what I'm noticing in men, I'm sure you could say the same for women, but I work with men, so I'm only hearing men all day. But one of those emotions being bitterness. What can we do to protect ourselves from bitterness during our waiting period?
It's all about gratitude. Mm-hmm. One of years ago, actually the year that started off the 10 years. I read Ann Voskamp's 1,000 Gifts. And she had a line that became great wisdom in my life that said that gratitude is the birthplace of joy. We become bitter when we stop giving thanks, when we start saying that God did this to us instead of God did this for us. Mm-hmm. So bitterness is carrying around that posture of, I'm going to turn my back on God, cross my arms, and show him. Gratitude is when we turn toward God and we say, you know, God, that hurt. That was painful. I don't like the way that went down, but I'm going to choose to be grateful for the things that you've done in my life. And I'm going to be real with you about how I feel. And I'm going to trust that you're going to get me through this.
You know, Barb, I tell you, what a blessing to have you on the show today. And I tell you that there was a chance that we may or may not go through the man up questions. And I'm leaning not towards going to it, even though I love asking our guests the man up questions, especially when women come on. But I really want to make sure I reach that man out there who's listening to this, who's struggling with waiting. And I want to know, and I know you'll speak from your heart to this. What would you say to that man who's been waiting on his wife to forgive him, maybe to trust him again, so they can kind of move on to heal from the pain that he's caused in the past, who wants everything in his life. He wants to save his marriage. He wants to marry, and he realizes he doesn't deserve mercy. He really doesn't want justice, but he can use a little bit of mercy and grace. And he's now getting discouraged because he doesn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And he knows that if she leaves or if she ends this, deep down inside, I know I deserve it because I'm guilty. But he wants to fight. He wants to stay in there. He wants to hang in there, but it just looks so bleak. Barb, speak to him. How would you encourage him to continue to be faithful in the waiting?
Well, now I did really well through this whole episode at not crying.
And so now, you're gonna leave me hanging out there by myself crying.
No, like I have my game face on and all the things. And oh, goodness gracious, until this moment. Because I know that what you're saying is true, that there are likely men out there who feel like what they want most are slipping through their fingertips. And unfortunately, in our culture, men are not given the space or the dignity or the respect for being real with what's going on. And I wish that that would change in our world, because I believe that my dad, one of the things I loved about him was that he was an incredibly strong man who believed in the cleansing power of tears. And I think that that was the key to why his life was so successful. So I guess I first want to say to a man out there who is afraid that he might lose what he loves, is that I'm glad that you care, that it means something that you want to hold on to the vows that you've made, that you want to hold on to the family that you've built, that you want to write whatever it is that God's put on your heart that needs to be righted. And the second thing I want to say is that you are loved because God loves you. I don't know what you've done, where you come from, or what you've been through, but you are loved because God loves you. That no matter what your spouse is doing, you do not have to earn her love, because God loves you. And I hope that that truth soaks into every cell that you have. And I think that the last thing that I would share is that sometimes God takes a long time to do something suddenly. That the scriptures say that trials breed perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Whatever it is that you are doing today matters. And I don't know to what end it matters, but you are persevering, and your persevering is shaping your character, and your character is giving you endurance and creating the hope of Christ within you. And so if you keep your eyes on your own hula hoop today, that you keep doing what God is calling you to do, that God will bless that abundantly. I don't know how your story will end, but I do know that God will bless you abundantly.
Wow. Guys, we're talking to my guest, Barb Roos, who's the author of I'm Waiting God, Finding Blessing in God's Delays. Barb, we prayed before we came on this show. I had no idea this show was going to wreck me. Had no idea. I thought, what a great topic. I had no idea. And those words you closed out with were perfect. I'm glad I didn't do the man of questions. They were perfect. And I'm hoping that every man out there listening, and I know the men who I've worked with personally, who I know I'm going to share this with personally, said, you got to listen. I know you're tired of listening to me, you're tired of hearing my voice. Why not hear it from a woman? Listen to this woman who's gone through, who's going through. And in what she's going through, she is encouraging you where you are right now, having experienced what she's experienced. It's just mind blowing to me. And so, man, we've come to the end of our show today, but don't you worry. We'll be back to do it again next week with less crying from me and more keeping to the script as far, much as we can, with another guest, different insights and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. Barb, thank you. It can't even be it's not even adequate to thank you for joining us on our show today and be so gracious with your time. I don't know how to thank you enough. I don't. Well, I can tell you one thing. You made it a little bit easier. I am going to buy the book for her now. That's the least I can do for your ministry. I'm going to sow me a seed right now, man. But Barb, quickly for our listeners, if they wanted to find out more about you, your wonderful ministry, your wonderful resources, and your wonderful book, I can't recommend it enough. What is the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
The simplest place is at barbroos.com. That's my online home. There are all types of resources and anything that you want to find out about me, my story, my testimony, right there at barbroos.com.
Thanks, Barb. And what we'll do, we'll make sure we put that in the show notes as well as with some of your other contact information and social media so they can reach out to you. It seems like you're on everything, at least with what they sent us. So they'll be able to reach out to you in a lot of different formats and media too as well. And if you like today's show, please do us a favor. I hope you like today's show. This is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go to iTunes and rate the program for us. It's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. Guys, you made us number one for a reason, because you keep recommending and sharing this podcast with others. And we're now the top rated podcast for Christian men on iTunes. And if you have a special comment you want to share with Barb, not only can you reach out to her, but if you want to make a comment in iTunes about this particular interview, please do that. Or please email me and I'll make sure that Barb gets it. I know this has touched me in a mighty way, and I'm hoping that it touched you the same way. So please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be that man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.